It's time. Hey everyone, welcome to the Meme Duels podcast. I'm your host, Ocean King, and this is your other host,
Scrub Lord, King of All Scrubs.
We got a very exciting podcast for you today with many topics, covering a wide variety of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links themed topics, I guess.
So basically what you're telling me is you have topics related to the podcast about Duel Links, and you're telling me you have topics. So you're telling me, you're telling me nothing.
I got so many topics.
Nothing.
Yo. Oh, and also, we have a special third guest, our recurring special guest, Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse, hello.
As they say on the Disney Channel, you know, Mickey Mouse in the clubhouse.
Well, for legal reasons, it's not that Mickey Mouse. I don't want to get sued.
I don't think they sound the same at all. And, you know, even with my high level of, you know, technical knowledge, I can't deepfake that. It's not possible yet. Technology's not there.
So before we get too far, let's go through our list of topics today, because we got just so many topics. We got Water XYZ. We got Chinese Duel Links. We got Necro Valley. We got ban lists. We got talking about burnout. We got depression. Talking about burnout. So many topics. All right. So let's get going. But before we start the bulk of our, you know, meaty podcast, we got a word from today's sponsor. Today's sponsor, GameStop. Diamond Hands, baby. Diamond Hands. GameStop.
Thank you for that sponsor. Although, unfortunately, I heard that they're not paying our check. So I'm going to actually have to refuse that sponsorship. And no Diamond Hands, GameStop, no bueno, don't buy. We actually have a better sponsor, and it is related to meat, as he said. So meaty, yes, that's right. We have meat on a platter. If you like meat on a platter, buy meat on a platter. That is
what, just like the meat industry just sponsored us?
I can't reveal any of the contacts. Just know that if you see meat on a platter, that supports this podcast. And if you're vegan, we also have vegan meat on a platter. So we cater to all kinds. Do not worry. We do not discriminate.
I've had vegan meat in it. Some of it's quite good.
I've had vegan chili, and it was also quite good.
Now, speaking of vegan chili, vegan meat, we need to talk about XYZ water decks. Because
let's talk some sushi
people
here.
Do this.
Let's talk some sushi, all right? Water XYZ.
Like,
yo, we all love sushi. Okay, after this podcast, we're all going to get sushi, right?
Yes.
All right. We should get them as a sponsor. All right. Water XYZ. It's a semi-new deck. I think I've mentioned it before as being a semi-viable deck. I know. And everyone knows that I love water decks. That's why my name's Ocean King. That is legitimately the reason behind that name, is because I love water Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks. So this is like my element right now. Water XYZ tournament topping deck. This weekend, Meta Weekly, first place, Water XYZ. It's winning all the tournaments. It's doing great. And it's just in like the last week because of Abyss Dweller. They released a new card in the latest box, a UR, Abyss Dweller. It makes the deck. Before Abyss Dweller, deck was poop. Now, deck's gold. All because of this one card. So, I know you guys have opinions about Water XZ. Scrub Lord, what are your
listen, Water XZ is not good enough for me to have a valid reason for hating it.
Oof.
But
oof. That is a harsh take. So you don't think it's good, is what you're saying. You don't think it's good.
Here's my take, okay? Water is flexible, it flows, you know, but what's the problem with fish? They have fish memory. Okay.
They can't okay.
Okay. No, listen, this is gonna go deep. It's gonna go for a ride. Buckle in, okay, listen, okay? Fish memory. Okay. Now that we said fish memory, fish weak. So what do fish lose to? Electricity, right? Now, what if a fish were to fight an electromagnet warrior? Do not fish lose to magnet warriors? Please tell me. And just for those wondering, magnet warriors are the shittiest of shitty decks. Like, No. It can maybe do some things. Water, fire, air, and dirt. Fucking magnets. How do they work? But
they can do
old,
some things.
It's slow and not that great.
So Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. You're talking about how I play the Water XC deck, and I lose to magnets.
That's right.
I did lose to magnets. It's true. Hey, everyone has a bad day sometimes.
I'm pretty sure I also beat you with Light Sworn, Six Samurai.
Hold on. That was before Abyss Dweller. Abyss Dweller, I only got in the last week. I got it right after the end of the Kaiba Cup. So I have not played either of you with the full power Water XC deck. I just want to point that out. Second, I think the reason it's doing so well in tournaments is because it's like a meta call. The deck is the meta right now is very heavily occupied by both light decks with all light monsters, so like the Blue Eyes, the Thunder Dragons, and then dark decks with a lot of dark monsters. And that's like, again, Thunder Dragons, it's light and dark. I think Desperado is a lot of dark monsters. Noble Knights, a lot of dark monsters. Mm-hmm. The water deck's taking advantage of this in two ways. First off, it's playing single of copies of Light and Shadow Imprisoning Mirror, which are these, like, you get them, they're like character unlock cards. You can only get one of each of them in the game right now. And basically, they stop you from special summoning either light monsters or dark monsters. So if you resolve this trap against a person who's playing that monster type, it just shuts their entire deck off. Like, they just cannot play at all. So it's a little bit of a cheese, I think.
Just a little bit?
It's quite a lot of cheese.
There we go. Thank you.
To be fair, I think a lot of decks in the meta right now are playing Alley of Justice, the one that stops. It does the same thing. It stops people from summoning light monsters.
What? Yeah. I mean, yeah. Honestly, that indicates to me, and this might relate to one of our later topics, an unhealthy or starting to become unhealthy meta when you tech in these trash old cards just to whip other stuff. It means it's too homogenous. There's too much of the same.
I agree. Yeah, Ally of Justice Quarantine is what the one that just... It's a 1700. It's literally Axe Raider. It's Axe Raider with an effect that neither player can special summon light monsters. It's a 1700 attack, just monster. That's it.
Yeah,
so I agree.
That's the thing. Abyss Dweller is not a very good beat stick. I mean, at most, with two other water monsters, it can have 27 attack.
So Abyss Dweller is 22. I think it goes up to 27 if you make a second Abyss Dweller.
Well, no, if you have two water monsters that you control. So if you have Abyss Dweller and two other water monsters, it'll go up to 2,700.
Hold up.
This isn't right. Objection! So Abyss Dweller's effect is he gains 500 attack if he has a water material. It has nothing to do with other water monsters on the field.
Yeah, it says all water monsters you control gain 500 attack.
Yeah, so if you have an Abyss Dweller, he's 1700 base attack. He's Axe Raider. He gives himself 500. No. If you make a second Abyss Dweller, then they both pump each other, and then you have 27.
Well, that makes it even worse. So now it's only a 2200 beat stick. Like, that's
very
easy to defeat in normal combat.
No, exactly. He's not Abyss Dweller's. The reason we'll talk about why Abyss Dweller's.
I was gonna
good.
Say, yeah. We just sit down, strap in. Professor Ocean King is going to take you to dual school. He's gonna put the dunce cap on you and me and all our listeners, and he's gonna condescendingly laugh as he pushes up his glasses and he tells us how great water monsters are. So
this
be prepared.
This is true, and this is all true. So the reason Abyss Dweller is making this deck is two reasons. First thing, his base effect, quick play, stops effects in the graveyard from activating. There's a lot of stuff that activates in the graveyard. All the Blue Eyes White Dragon eggs, any monster that has an effect when it's destroyed by battle and activates, that all gets shut off by Abyss Dweller. So you quick effect, detach, shut off graveyard activation, the effects just don't activate, they're stopped. So if your opponent's playing Blue Eyes, they toss an egg into the graveyard, they're expecting to get their Blue Eyes at the end of turn, you Abyss Dweller detach, the rest of the turn, no graveyard effects will activate, so they don't get it.
Okay.
The other thing that that's making Abyss Dweller so hot is the water skill, which is a skill that the shark character has, makes all of your water monsters on the field level 4. And until end of turn. And okay. So basically, there's a card called Deep Sea Diva. Deep Sea Diva is a level 2 normal. It's a level 2 effect monster. It's when a normal summon it, it special summons a sea serpent from the deck. Now, it's level Deep Sea Diva is level 2. The sea serpent that it summons has to be level 3 or lower. Normally, that would be shit. You're sure you get a sea serpent out of your deck, great, but what can you do with tiny little sea serpents? Nothing. But with the Water XD skill, you make them all level 4. Now you can do a rank 4 XYZ summon. And the thing that makes this extra spicy is the Atlantean cards. So they're sea serpents. You can search them with Deep Sea Diva, and they have effects when they're sent to the graveyard. Either one of them pops a face-up card on the field, one of them pops a face-down card on the field. So what this lets you do...
This is where the power is.
This is the power of Abyss Dweller.
I don't want to spoil it, but when I heard this and when I understood this wombo combo jank cheese, let's just say, I could have created some chips, you know, and just seasoned them all with my excess salt.
Yeah, he was salty. So basically, what you do on your first turn, normal summon Deep Sea Diva. It searches a sea serpent from your deck. So you can search Marksman or Heavy Infantry. Those are the two sea serpents. So now you have two water monsters on the field, okay? You've plus one. You use the skill, make your monsters all level 4. You make Abyss Dweller. Now, Abyss Dweller has two materials, Deep Sea Diva and Heavy Infantry. Now, Abyss Dweller's effect is a quick effect, doesn't target anything. You could do it at any time. So as soon as your opponent plays a card, they special summon something. Say they special summon, they're playing Blue Eyes, they special summon an alternative dragon. In response to the summon, you activate Abyss Dweller's effect. Graveyard shut off for the turn. You detach as the material, Heavy Infantry. When Heavy Infantry goes into the graveyard, its effect will activate, and it'll destroy a face-up card on the field. And you can pop that alternative dragon before it has a chance to activate its effect. So that's why it's so hot.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So give it's the TLDR.
TLDR.
Credit given where credit is due.
Abyss Dweller is a easy turn one play that shuts off the graveyard and pops a face-up card on the field or a face-down card on the field at any time you want. Quick effect, destroy card. Very, very, very strong. Because it's so responsive. You can do it even because it's a quick effect. You can even do it in response to your opponent trying to disrupt your Abyss Dweller. Like, basically, they can't do anything to stop you from doing this.
Because you have another one in hand, like, that can respond to it, basically.
The weakness of the deck, so the weakness of the Water XD deck, is you can only activate the skill twice in a duel. So once you've made your Abyss Dweller, and maybe if you're able to do it on turn two as well, after that, you're going to struggle to make plays, because after that point, you're running out of... You can no longer make your water monsters level 4, so you might not be able to make a rank 4 XD anymore. And usually the deck will play some synchros to take advantage of Deep Sea Diva being a tuner, but it's hard to extend your plays. So really the deck is hoping to get an Abyss Dweller on the field, kind of like stabilize, protect it with Forbidden Lance or Book of Moon. Maybe jank out some plays with Shadow Imprisoning Mirror or Necro Valley or Light Imprisoning Mirror. Just basically ways to stop your opponent's deck from working. And then hopefully you can just use Abyss Dweller to pop something and just get in enough damage to get your opponent. So I really like the deck. It's very interactive. It doesn't feel broken in some of the ways the other decks do, like the coin flip Desperado cheese.
Yeah, I mean, when it's 100% basically left to chance.
Yeah, it's literally coin flipping. Yeah,
yeah, it's like you're already multiplying chance times chance, because chance that you pull the cards, that you have the combos, that you play, like the opponent has the combos. Now you got to throw in the mix of like flipping coins, man. Yeah. Like no one signed up for a coin flipping life.
Yeah, so I really like this deck. I mean, obviously I'm biased because I like water decks in general, but. I think the deck's quite fun to play, and because Abyss Dweller is like you said, when he has no materials, he's Axe Raider. He's not very strong, and the games where I've lost with the deck, it's just because your opponent
has bigger stuff.
They have bigger stuff, and they're just not using the graveyard. So sure, you can pop a face up, but after you do that one play, because you can only do it once, after you do that one play, you're going to struggle to get over big monsters. And that's really where the deck has a tough time. If the if you're playing an opponent who makes big monsters and doesn't use the graveyard, it can be difficult. So, yeah, anyway, it's doing well now. It did top the tournament. I think I said top the tournament this weekend. And it was like playing against Blue Eyes. So if you're curious, you want to see how the deck plays, you can watch that. But it's taking advantage of a lot of the new UR cards. So Abyss Dweller, I've seen two or three copies of Book of Moon.
To protect you can't get any more.
Oh yeah, you can't get it. No, you can't get any more yet. I'm sure it'll come in a box.
Yeah, you'll
eventually
be able to get it later. But at the moment, if you're trying to build this deck and you need Book of Moon, it's like too bad, so sad. You didn't spend enough money.
That's why they call money. That's why they call it Book of Money. You have to buy it. I only have one copy of the Book of Money, just due to my high luck stat when I was opening packs from.
See,
that.
I too have a Book of Money, thanks to my high money stat.
I didn't know you got a book. Did you eventually get one?
I got a book. Yeah, I had some more money, so I bought a book.
Nice.
Definitely missed out on the Book of Money.
Don't worry. Don't worry. You'll have
Book of
Money
is not worth the money it costs.
Oh, I agree. I think it's like $300 to get all of the books, right?
I think more. I mean,
it's like at least $100 to guarantee a Book of Moon, right?
If you want to guarantee it and go through the whole thing, I think at least, yeah. I honestly don't remember. Someone did the math a while back, but
crazy. Yeah, it is not currently free to play friendly, but I think I'm expecting Book of Moon to be in a box in the next few months. So
I'm expecting main box UR, maybe not next box, but the main box after that.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised that it's such a staple. I mean, I think it just lines up really well against the current meta because of everyone using Karma Cut.
Yeah.
Book of Moon lets you flip your own monster face down to dodge Karma Cut's banishing effect. So that's pretty hot. And you actually, that I don't want to spoil too much, but that happened in the tournament this weekend in the final. Dodging the Karma Cut with the Book of Moon.
I was going to say, that's the main reason I wanted the Book of Moon. Because, and this is perfect for our next, bunch of topics. I hate Karma Cut.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about Karma Cut. Because I don't know, I'm going to get gotcha'd here, because we've talked about Karma Cut before, and I forget what I said. But I don't think Karma Cut is a great card. Everyone hates it right now. This is controversial. Everyone hates Karma Cut. They think it's the worst. What it does is, it's a trap. You set it after the turn it's set. You flip it face up. Target a face-up monster on the field. Discard a card from your hand and banish the face-up monster. So,
and also remove any cards in the player's graveyard.
That has
the same name. And that has
correct.
Come in very clutch when I'm playing against Blue Eyes.
Yes.
See, look, and here you have, so this is the thing with Karma Cut, is I hate Karma Cut, but I think Karma Cut is healthy at the moment, because like Karma Cut by itself in any other meta would be like abuse material. It would be the worst. But because you need an out to all these other cards that, like, you know, all these Blue Eyes is and all this other stuff that just can combo and combo off the grave and on the field.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Karma Cut is so fair. You're literally two for one-ing yourself. Karma Cut itself is a card. You have to discard a card to activate it. Now, I know people will say, oh, well, it's not really two for one because you can have effects that activate from discarding with the Karma Cut. Okay, sure, but Karma Cut at a base level is a fair card. You're discarding a card. You're destroying one opponent's monster. You can clean out their graveyard, maybe. I know it's very good against Blue Eyes because they often end up with like alternative or other copies of Blue Eyes in the graveyard. And if Blue Alternative Dragon is a Blue Eyes in the graveyard, so it gets banished if you banish a Blue Eyes. So that's like.
So I love that you're saying all of this just because if I remember correctly.
Well,
just
I'm not
the
done.
Other
Hold
day.
On. Hold
just,
on.
Just no. Just the other day.
Before you gotcha me.
I had no. I'm not gonna gotcha. I'm just gonna just lay out the facts here.
All right, let's hear the facts.
The other day, and this has nothing to do with a previous recording of podcast. This was off air. This was you and I just chatting, and this is what started, like added this topic, to the thing, I had said these exact words. I think Karma Cut is a fair and balanced card. Uh-huh. Your answer was, no, hell no, it's the worst, it should be banished, I hate it. This is all I want to say, because everything you just said right now, those were the arguments I had given you, and then you're like, no, like, that should not be it. You know what, save this for the podcast, save this for the podcast.
All right.
And then here we are.
I've had time to reflect. This was in chat, so this is in writing, isn't it?
Sorry?
No, this I is think all it was in Discord.
I think we just talked.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so there's no evidence that I said this.
I do. We have a witness here, Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, biased witness. All right, here's the thing, all right? People on Reddit hate Karma Cut. And I think the reason that they hate it is because, similar to how the WaterX Z deck is matched well against the meta, Karma Cut right now is very good against the meta. Because there's a lot of monsters that people are summoning that have effects that activate when they're destroyed. And Karma Cut doesn't destroy, it banishes, and that makes those effects not activate. So, is Karma Cut fair at a base level? As a card design in a vacuum, yes. It gets abusable when you're using effects that activate on discard. So when you're playing Blue Eyes and you're discarding eggs and stuff, it makes the Karma Cut better because you want to discard cards because you have cards that activate when they're discarded. So, do you think, here's a good segue, do you think Karma Cut will get hit in the ban list? Because I think it's the most played card right now.
So, I haven't checked the stats, but I know it's always up there in the favorite or like most popular cards, like at least in the top row. And I personally think that even though the card in a vacuum, like you said, is perfectly fair and balanced, it makes sense. Right now, the state of the meta, the way the cards that are powerful like work, like you said, the Blue Eyes with the discard, there's a couple other archetypes out there too, that realistically, it's easier to hit Karma Cut because it'll hit all those decks rather than hitting one card from each quote-unquote strong deck.
Yeah.
And the only issue I see here, though, is if Karma Cut gets hit, right, these strong decks lose power, but then these other more annoying decks, coin flip decks, there's a couple other decks out there that, you know, they're going to become the main problem. So is it the main one? No, but I think it's part of a joint effort. So I think it has to be Karma Cut, but whatever else they do in that list has to at least, you know, complement it so that it kind of, it almost like as if you're nuking the zone.
Yeah. So Karma Cut, I remember when Karma Cut first came out, and I thought we talked about it before, and I was very on the anti-Karma Cut train, where I didn't think it was a good replacement for the similar card, Raigeki Break. So Raigeki Break is a similar card where it's a trap, you discard a card, it targets a card in a field. Difference is Raigeki Break just destroys the card. It can destroy any card, not just a monster that's face up, but Raigeki Break doesn't banish and it doesn't destroy things in the graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
So when Karma Cut came out and people were using it, I was very much like, I prefer Raigeki Break. I like the fact that it can destroy back row, where Karma Cut can only hit monsters. I like that Raigeki Break can destroy face down monsters, whereas Karma Cut can only destroy or banish face up. And I think just the versatility of Raigeki Break makes it a better card in a vacuum. But because of the meta being what it is, Karma Cut's better because of the banishing aspect of its effect. So I think that's mostly because of Desperado.
I don't mean to interrupt, but
yeah, go ahead.
I think this is a good point to, like, talking about Desperado, talking about Karma Cut, talking about bans.
You want to talk about
I want you to include what else you think should be included in that ban to make Karma Cut, you know, and make it work, basically.
Yeah.
So I think if I were Konami, I would probably want to not hit Karma Cut, just because we talked about Karma Cut being at base level, it's a fair card. I mean, it's removal. You don't win the game. I mean, Karma Cut can win you the game because it can destroy an opponent's threat that's like gonna beat you. Like, but on its own, you can't win the game with Karma Cuts. Like, Karma Cut can't just kill your opponent, right? All it does is remove monsters, right? So
it's an enabler.
Yeah. Karma Cut's an enabler. It helps you win the game with other effects. But is it an unfair enabler? Like, I don't think so. It's a 2-for-1 yourself kind of removal card. And the reason it's so good is because of other things, not Karma Cut's fault. So let's say.
I honestly don't think.
Not all Karma Cut's.
I don't think Karma Cut's big enough to even be touched by the ban list.
Oh, man.
That's controversial.
That's so spicy. Okay. You know what?
That's a Mickey spicy Mouse, take.
Please. We need to hear more.
What decks right now do Karma Cut make next level?
Well, Blue Eyes, first of all.
Yeah.
And I believe it's being run as a 3-of in Noble Knights, which is ranked as the top deck right now. Okay, Noble Knights runs 3 copies of Karma Cut.
So that's only 2 decks, really. 2 really big decks.
Well, those are two of the top decks right now. So,
yeah.
Like Noble Knights is tier 1. Tier 2. Wait, does Desperado run it too? I think Desperado runs it. Yeah, Desperado is also running 3-of Karma Cut.
Okay.
Is Onomat running it?
I mean, you can slot it in. I don't think it usually does.
Onomat doesn't have space.
But at that point, you can slot it into anything. Like, I run a copy of it in my 6 Samurais. Right?
Yeah, but it doesn't synergize with 6 Samurais. It's just like
it's good removal.
So that's the point, though, is that I think you've made the point that we're trying to make. Yeah. In that it's good in a vacuum in like the decks that don't abuse it, but right now it's being abused because the meta lends itself to be abused.
Yeah.
So and then this is good that you said only 2 decks and those 2 decks that you mentioned happen to be at the top.
Yeah.
So that's what you're gonna see 80 or 90% of the time. So it's like it becomes too much of the same.
Yeah.
It becomes very stale to fight against. And this we'll touch this on this later. That's one of the main reasons I haven't been as engaged, I haven't played as much. You know, the quote-unquote joke about depression. It was just like, I was like, you know, I'm just tired of the meta. Like, there was nothing fun calling me in. There was no... Yeah, we'll get to this later, but...
Yeah. No, that's fair. So, like, Mickey Mouse is completely right. Like, Karma Cut can be a good blowout if you're playing it fairly. But, like, when you're playing it in your, you know... what did you say it was? Samurai?
6 Samurais, yeah.
Yeah, your 6 Samurai deck, if you're playing Karma Cut, you're not getting value out of the discard portion of it, right? You have to discard a card to Karma Cut. Is there anything that you have that would activate in the graveyard or that you want to be in the graveyard?
Yeah, I have a few cards that are in my hand that do negate attacks or summon other cards from my deck that are more beneficial in my graveyard.
Okay, so there's maybe a bit of synergy. But it's not like the level of Blue Eyes, where Blue Eyes, when they discard one of their Ancients, literally at the end of turn, they'll get a Blue Eyes monster from the deck. So that's like a very strong, it's a plus. Essentially turns what was what would have been a 2-for-1 against yourself into a 2-for-1 against your opponent. Because the discard becomes a Blue Eyes White Dragon, which
True.
Means you're getting 2 cards out of... And then you're destroying your opponent's thing. So, but yeah, like decks that are using it 3-of, Noble Knights, Desperado, Blue Eyes, that's tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3, respectively. So you're seeing
You have one in each, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. You're seeing a lot of this card, but I think that the reason that these decks are a problem aren't, like, we can talk about what's the issue in each of these decks, and so,
and,
like,
and
why...
And I just want to draw, like, one point to attention. All right, and it's that we've only been talking really about, we mentioned 3 decks there that run Karma Cut, but we're only talking really about Blue Eyes. I just want to make a little asterisk.
So Blue Eyes, we knew this would happen. I love Blue Eyes, great deck, I've played it for a long time. We talked about this on one of the other podcasts, the peasants were not ready to receive Blue Eyes Alternative Dragon, and in the Kaiba Cup the last weekend, there was so many Blue Eyes decks, it was unreal. It was like Blue Eyes, Blue Eyes, Blue Eyes, Blue Eyes, Blue Eyes. You could play against like 4 or 5 Blue Eyes decks in a row. Like that's something that makes people burn out if too many people are playing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't keep track, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think Karma Cut's the issue. I think if they limited the White Stone of Ancients.
Oh,
maybe
spicy.
limit that with cards of consonants.
Ooh.
They limited those to, we'll say, 3. Limit 3. That puts a big dampener on the deck.
So let's talk about ban list and what's going to get banned. Yeah, people are mad at Blue Eyes. It's not because Blue Eyes is particularly strong. It's just because so many people love the Blue Eyes White Dragon deck. So many people are playing it. It's just kind of annoying. And this is really similar to when Dark Magicians was popular. So you remember a few months ago, so many people were playing the Dark Magician deck, and it was like Summon Rod, Activate Circle, Set, Navigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you'd see that exact same play pattern in so many duels. The Dark Magician deck was not competitive. Like, it wasn't winning tournaments, but it was just super popular because people love Dark Magicians. They just love the card from the anime, right? And I don't think anybody really was predicting a ban of the Dark Magician cards, but Konami banned, or they put Limit 2 on Rod. And did they put Limit 2 on Circle too, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
Is that right?
Later, yeah. Not at first. At first, it was the Magician of Illusion.
Well, that
first.
Was kind of like a not even real ban. That was like,
he is important, okay? Don't disrespect him.
That was like a stop using other Limit 2 cards hit. It didn't really do anything. But they really nerfed the deck just because it was too popular and people were getting bored of playing against it. So even though the Blue Eyes deck, I don't think is like too strong competitively, I think you're right that they might hit something from the deck just because too many people are playing it. Yep. And especially with the free alternative.
Exactly.
What if it's the skill they hit?
Well, that's the thing. I don't, the top tier
Blue Eyes deck. Sorry, not hit, rebalance.
The Ultimate Dragon skill?
Yeah, so if they made it only activatable, like say after turn 5.
I'm controversial. The skill is not what's making the deck good, because the top tier Blue Eyes decks are playing balance now, not Ultimate Dragons.
Huh. I haven't kept up with the meta, like I said, during my absence.
Yeah, so some people are, the Ultimate Dragon skill, really good skill, but people are running other skills, and I don't think hitting the skill would stop this deck. I don't think that's what makes it like good. I mean, it's obviously it's a great skill. If anyone doesn't know, Ultimate Dragons, if you have two Blue Eyes in the hand, normally that would be a brick. You are in a sad space, but because you don't have a way to get your Blue Eyes out of your hand because they're level 8 dragons that need tributes, Ultimate Dragons lets you reveal two Blue Eyes from the hand, and you add a polymerization to your hand from the ether. It just appears in your hand. And you can use it to polymerize the Blue Eyes into what is it called? The Blue Eyes Neo Dragon.
I don't remember.
Twin Burst.
I thought you were the
Dragon.
Encyclopedia. If you are, man, people are gonna have to refund their purchase.
Twin Burst Dragon, I think, is what it's called. It's a fusion monster that can attack. It can't be destroyed by battle. It can attack two monsters, and if a monster isn't destroyed by battle, it banishes it.
Blue Eyes Twin Burst Dragon.
Yeah.
And you need Blue Eyes White Dragon and two Blue Eyes White Dragons.
Yeah.
Must be fusion summoned, special summoned by sending the above monsters you control to the graveyard. And if that's the case, you don't have to use polymerization.
Yeah.
Can't be destroyed by battle. Card may take up to 2 attacks on monsters during each battle phase. At the end of the damage step, when the card attacks an opponent's monster, but the opponent's monster was not destroyed by battle, you can banish the monster.
Yep, that's 100%. So
yeah, that's a beat stick.
It's a good card. It's also great that you can add the polymerization and do it from your hand. But that's not what makes Blue Eyes good. What's making Blue Eyes good is the discard traps and the cards of consonants. Getting you a free Blue Eyes White Dragon and 2-for-1-ing your opponent with drawing. Essentially, it turns like cards of consonants into Pot of Greed, because you discard an egg, you get a Blue Eyes, and you draw 2 cards. Just can be quite strong.
Yeah.
When you're grinding your opponent out. So, yeah, if they did hit the Blue Eyes deck, how would you hit it? You said you wanted to hit the egg. Whitestone Ancients.
Yep.
It is a powerhouse. I think hitting the egg, probably not the right direction to go, because egg can be searched with Sage.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was just about to bring that up. What if you had egg and Sage?
I don't think that would be That would basically kill the deck. Hitting eggs. Yeah,
because you'd have to set them at different numbers. Yeah. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to play either or.
Yeah. That would kill the deck. I think what would be fair if I were to if I were Konami and I would want to make people stop playing Blue Eyes as much, I would probably hit Karma Cut to 3 and hit Egg to 3, because then people wouldn't be able to play so many Karma Cut. They wouldn't be able to play Karma Cut and Egg together.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be fair.
Yeah. Okay. I see that.
Yeah, and then they would be forced to play Reg Icky Break, and Reg Icky Break is similar. It lets you discard and destroy things, but it doesn't banish. It targets, and it doesn't banish. And it doesn't banish things from the graveyard. So it's a lot more fair. A lot of stuff in Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like designed around getting destroyed, and they'll have effects that trigger when it gets destroyed. So I think Reg Icky Break is a more fair card that people in Blue Eyes can play, rather than the Karma Cuts. But we'll see. What about you, Scrublord, what would you ban from?
Whoa, you're forgetting my name.
Forget his name. Wow.
I was gonna say your real name, and I realized
that's okay.
We
used call my real name. It's not like a secret.
Edit out. What would you ban? What would you ban from Blue Eyes? If you were to hit it?
I mean, I want Karma Cut banned, so I'm already on board with Karma Cut plus Egg.
You want it? Okay, both hit to 3.
Like, I'm on that choo-choo train, man. I'm like loading the coal into it. You know, telling the conductor, okay, I've checked all the tickets, man. Let's go.
All right. And I think limiting Karma Cut to 3. Wouldn't affect my six samurais, so I'm okay with that.
So yeah. Okay, I think just so that I get the perspective correct, I think Mickey Mouse for you, realistically, as long as six sams is strong and good, they can like the rest of the world can be burning and being banned. But you know,
exactly. But I got my six sams. This is fine.
It's like that guy in the corner, you know, eating his comfort food as like the world around him like burns. But he's like, yeah, you know, I got my comfort food.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Hitting Karma Cut to 3, I think, would be a good start to limiting its use in other decks. So let's talk about the other decks that we think are going to hit. Desperado. We all hate Desperado.
They're going to hit the skill again, and they have to hit a card.
Because of the coin flipping. So anyone who's not familiar with this deck, it uses a skill called Master of Destiny that guarantees the first 3 times you flip a coin with a card effect that does coin flips, it guarantees your first 3 flips will be heads. So that's really good. I mean, the coin flip effects are balanced around the fact that if you flip tails, they're shit. They're inherently swingy. And to guarantee 3 heads, it turns Cup of Ace, a like shitty card, literally Cup of Ace, toss a coin. If it's heads, you draw 2 cards. If it's tails, your opponent draws 2 cards. That's so swingy. It's like stupid how swingy that is. But if you're guaranteed a heads, now Cup of Ace is Pot of Greed, and Pot of Greed is banned.
Yeah, that becomes very broken.
Yeah, so I think the Desperado deck itself is so degenerate. Everything about it is. The coin flipping, the fact that they usually play 3 Aleph just as quarantines that stop you from summoning light monsters, head judging. People
head judging, I think, has to get hit. I love the card because it's a meme card at heart, but in this deck with that skill, it becomes, it's like it's on steroids.
Judging is such a feel bad card. Head judging, not only does it not use the flips, so it's a coin flip card, but it doesn't use their 3 guaranteed flips. So I maybe give a bit of background. The Desperado skill, there's a rider on it that to have this skill work, you have to have a 7 cards that have coin flips in the effect in your deck. 7
and
different
that was
cards.
Like previously, that wasn't the case. That was added after that skill was too strong.
Yeah. So basically, it forces the Desperado deck to run a bunch of kind of shittier cards because they have to have cards with different names that have coin flips in them. And one of those cards is head judging, but head judging is actually turned out to be super annoying. Basically, what it does is when a monster activates an effect, the opponent, so not the owner of the head judging, the opponent flips a coin, and if they call the flip wrong, their monster's effect is negated and they lose control of the monster and you gain control of it. So it's like a super huge swing. And then if they call the flip right, the head judging just gets destroyed, so they lose it.
Yeah.
So it can either do nothing or it can win you the game, basically, because it steals your opponent's monster and, you know.
It just always leaves a sour taste.
And it stays on the field. So you could potentially, like, steal two or three monsters by flipping, luckily, with head judging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just feels really bad because when you lose to head judging, it's like, well, why did I lose? Well, because I lost a coin flip. Right?
Yeah.
I've
never played Desperado. In the whole time in that Kaiba Cup, I didn't see Desperados once.
Really?
No.
I think that's actually kind of curious because, I think the deck is pretty easy to build because it's just a structure deck.
Yeah.
I think
Desperado, Barrel Dragon, Machina Fortress.
Is it because it's a paid deck? That's probably why, right? You have to buy it.
It's because it's a paid deck, and I think it also to get 7 coin flip cards, you do need to dig a teensy bit.
Yeah, you probably do. Oh, yeah, because Fiend Comedian is one of the coin flip cards, and it's a level 45 reward from Sartorius, so you'd have to grind that character so long to get that.
Yeah, there's a lot of effort involved in that deck. There's also a lot of, like, kind of knowing when to do the skill and not. Like, it's the barrier to entry to that deck versus something like Blue Eyes, which you see everywhere, which you got gifted, like, literally handed at your feet.
Yeah.
You can't compare the numbers. Even, for example, another paid deck, what's it called?
Noble Knights.
X-Sabers?
Oh, Noble X-Sabers.
Knights. No, not X-Sabers. Noble Knights.
Yeah.
I confuse those two. Noble Knights, all the ones with all the equips. Like, they're also a paid deck, but you see them more than you do Desperado because it is basically just the structure deck and a couple extra.
Yeah. Well, the other thing about Noble Knights is the cards from the Noble Knights deck are actually in old boxes, so if you wanted to play Noble Knights, you could actually buy one copy of the structure deck and buy a bunch of old boxes if you're free to play and don't want to spend actual money. And you can make the deck work
with just one structure deck, basically.
Yeah, without paying a single dollar. Whereas the Desperado deck, you have to buy 3. And that's like, it's $5 for the first one and $10 for the second one, right?
Yeah, I think it's gems 5 and 10, maybe. Or 5, yeah. 8 and 10, something like that.
Yeah, so you actually have to pay 15 real world dollars to get the Desperado deck. So I think that's the barrier to entry for people to play that deck. I think it's gonna get hit, and that might make people be a little hesitant about it because it's so degenerate, coin flipping.
It's so degenerate.
It is. Hey, coin flips are degenerate. You heard it here first.
Is it really that much worse than a dice?
It depends how dice can be implemented in a way that's fun, but I think coin flips are inherently going to be bad. I think it's a bad mechanic. 50-50? Yeah. So we talked about a little bit about other card games. In Magic, they have been doing card game cards for a long time. They usually do not do coin flip effects because people hate it, how swingy it is. That's just a designer tip from the other game that they've said repeatedly that people don't like coin flip effects. They don't do them except like very rarely. And it's just because you can't design a fair coin flip. It's like either like for the coin flip to be meaningful, it has to be really good when you get heads and really bad when you get tails. And that just dichotomy.
Like Time Wizard.
Yeah, like Time Wizard. Another great coin flip card.
That one actually is just a garbage card because the bad is so bad and the good is so good, but like you're not willing to risk the so bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's not worth losing because of a coin flip just to play a coin flip card.
Do it for the memes.
You do it for the memes, yeah. But memes annoy people. If you use the same meme too many times, people get mad.
It becomes stale.
Yeah.
That's true.
So I think coin flip time had its time in the sun. Let's ban it. Like, hit this deck hard enough that nobody plays it anymore, I think is...
Yeah, you know where this isn't a problem?
Where?
In Chinese Duel Links server.
We talk about Chinese Duel Links? Can we talk about it?
You already mentioned it as one of the topics, man. So
I know.
It's our last one for today, so...
All right, so what do you know about the Chinese Duel Links? The stage here. What is Chinese Duel Links?
Okay, so I'm going to set the stage. I know not very much about Chinese Duel Links, but what I do know is mind-boggling, to say the least. So here's what I know. It's basically like Duel Links, but extra. And what do I mean by extra, right? So in normal Duel Links, there's no such thing as clans. There's no raids. There's no like group duels to like do some crazy stuff. I mean, there is when you do participate in teams to get points, but like that's about it. But in Chinese Duel Links, like you can sign up for a clan. So say I'm like Clan Yugi, and like we all run Exodia, and then we just go and do like missions and raids for Team Exodia, and you get rewards for that. And there's like player interaction and like.
I heard they also have its own ban list. They have story events too, right? Like they have things where it's like a campaign and you go through and play like play duels and
So that I didn't know. That to me, see, that's even more.
Yeah, the game is so it sounds like a way better version of the same game. And just like so everyone knows, you can only play this game in China. It's like Chinese region locked Duel Links. They don't have our version of Duel Links. They have this version of the game. It's a separate server where you can only play with Chinese players. But it's that's like it's a way better game. And I don't know if it's because it's just because they have more knowledge about the game, so they knew how to make it better, or when they released this version, because I think they released it this year, or if it's because the Chinese market is more competitive and they felt like they needed to make the game better in order to stay relevant.
So here's my spicy hot take. What if they grab some features from the upcoming TCG game and were like use the Chinese one as a beta test almost?
So that's another controversial thing, because I think DK'd accidentally revealed that they were making that when they were announcing something else, right?
Yes, yes.
He said that they consulted him about it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, I think that's like almost a beta test. So in a way, I'm excited if that is to come true. But on another hand, if that's going to be forever locked behind a firewall that I'll never get to see... kind of annoying, man. Like, yeah, why don't we get the good features? Why do we get the chat room where the people spam me about, like, are you a furry? Hello, hello, I like your toes. Hello. Like, I'm not here to read those chats, man. I'm here to duel and, like, that's it.
Well, the reason is because we're allowed to talk about Taiwan and, you know.
Now this podcast is banned.
China. We're allowed to talk about Taiwan and Winnie the Pooh, so you know that's the price we pay. We get a shittier version of Duel Links.
Well, I'm sorry, Ocean King. It was nice knowing you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Off to the Chinese labor camp with me. Oh, I'm sorry. Or now I'm even more banned. All right.
Oh no.
So yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day they'll implement these features in American Duel Links. More likely, maybe. They will not do that.
No, I have a feeling we're just going to get a new version of the game. Because how old's the game now? Four years old?
You say that, but maybe they kind of already beta tested the whole Gang Wars. Remember when we had to pick a side? We had to pick a card?
Gang Wars? Fight?
Yeah.
Oh, that's you're talking about the card choose event.
Yeah, oh, we had to do that. Maybe that so was that, like that, a beta test for the rest of the world.
No, that event type has been around since the beginning of the
game. That's an old event type. Yeah, that's since 5Ds.
They just kind of they've been copy-pasting the same events for the last like 2 years.
Yeah, so Mickey Mouse. You come in and out, right? You come in and out, which is fine, but they recycle these events. So an event that like for you is the like the first time and you're hyped. Mm-hmm. For us, could be like the fourth or third time we've done it, and we're like, yo, fuck this event again. Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll choose the bug. Like, okay.
We talked about that event before. We talk a little bit more about burnout. As Yu-Gi-Oh, I've found even I get burned out of this game. Like, I love card games, but even I get burned out of Yu-Gi-Oh Duel Links. And I think the reason that we get burned out of this game, not only the decks getting stale, but the fact that it rewards you for playing like as much as possible. The game never like lets up and says, oh, it's okay to take a break.
It never
now.
Tells you to take a break, right? Yeah.
It always wants you to constantly play. And it just, you're going to get burned out at some point. It's just a guarantee because you can't play Duel Links your whole life unless you're psychotic.
You know what Duel Links is like, yo? And I'll compare it. Duel Links is like a bag of chips, a bag of Lays. You know, you eat one and then that's good. That's good. And you go through the whole bag. But then after the whole bag, you're like, oh, you know what, man? I need a little break from this because a little bit too much.
Yeah.
That's what Duel Links is like.
I agree.
Oh, man. Yesterday, I ate a bag and a half of chips.
Unless it's Doritos. I could pretty much eat Doritos like nonstop and feel fine.
We should get Doritos to sponsor us.
Oh, yo, we should. Next, maybe next episode, we'll get Doritos.
Yeah. Yo, I heard they got 3D chips now, yo. So
what do you mean? They're already good. 3D.
No. They're actually like 3D Crunch, and they're actually pretty good.
Wait, well, hold up. What is this?
Your mind is blown.
What are 3D Crunch? What is this? Can we just turn into a Doritos ad right now? Because I want to know more.
Yo, okay. So with Doritos, 3D Crunch, you get crunch on all sides.
What does that mean?
It's basically like a pyramid of Doritos.
It's like they fold it into a pyramid shape.
They kind of look like those, what were they used to be called? What were they called? I don't remember.
Oh, the two?
Like, you know, those cones you put on your fingers and you eat as a kid?
Yeah, little finger cones.
Oh, yeah. What are those called?
I have no idea.
I don't know. We used to call them cones.
All right. If you know what the cones are called, send us an email at memeduel69@gmail.com. And tell us what those are, because we don't know. Get our engagement up.
See, after you talked about, you know, emailing about recipes, everyone just left. Now you hear the crickets.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, I want to try these 3D Doritos now, though. Are they just a regular Dorito flavor?
Listen, what we're going to do is when we're sponsored by Sushi and Doritos, they'll be both catering our event. So don't worry, you'll get a taste of both.
Exactly.
All right. I'm kind of legitimately excited. What were we talking about before that? Oh, burnout. So you can't get burned out of Doritos, but you can get burned out of Duel Links. You know, can we talk about ways to not get players to burn out?
Yeah. Yeah. I already know your take, but deliver your gospel, please.
You already know what I'm going to say. There's a game, the other game that I, card game that I play is Magic Arena.
Can I say something before you say that?
Go ahead.
So, for all the listeners out there, Ocean King isn't loyal like I am. You know, I'm a one card game man. Ocean King, though, you know, he likes to play a little bit here, play a little bit over there, and that's totally okay. That's his choice, his life, his style.
He likes to dabble in the dark arts.
When it comes to card games, I'm a Mormon. I think multiple wives, aka card games, are totally okay.
All right, now preach us your stuff, buddy.
So when this game came out, I think it was 3 years ago now, the reward system, they reward you for playing for until you get basically they have daily challenges that you have to do to get money, and then you have daily wins. So if you play and win 4 games in a day, you get like a certain amount of in-game currency. After that 4th win, you basically get very little in the form of rewards.
Hot take.
Yeah.
We already have that during events.
Yes. Like,
especially during the Kaiba Cup.
But that's the thing. When Kaiba Cup's on, don't you play more than you do in other times?
Well, that's just because I want to rank up.
Literally the only time, like the most active part. Like, I'm not even playing anymore. The Kaiba Cup's over. I stopped playing.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly why. Because Kaiba Cup, they have the ranking, which is fun. And then they also have the daily gem payout, which is like, oh, you know, if I play 3 games, win or lose, I get a certain amount of gems that I can use to buy packs, and it's like a good payout, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's definitely a good motivator.
Exactly. You'll happily play during Kaiba Cup at least 3 games a day. Even if you win or lose, you still get some gems. But the rest of the time, like right now, what do you get for playing? Like right now, I don't think you get anything. There's like you get the whatever rank up rewards are, which is like 5 gems a win, which is like basically nothing, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I gotta give credit where credit's due. They're trying. Duel Links is trying to do this right now. They have the whole 7 duels, online duels, and you get rewards after each duel.
I think they do that like it's like a common. They paired it with another event. I don't know what event they pair it with.
Yeah.
I think they pair it when the event is PvE.
Yeah.
They pair that.
Yeah, because they want you to still play on ladder because they don't want ladder to be dead. So if there's an event where you're playing against bots, then they want you to also play ladder still. But that's the thing. Like, these events are so grindy. Like, you're playing against bots, but you have to play so much to get, like, the value out of the event.
Credit where credit's due in regards to grinding with bots. If you don't want to optimize and you just want to kind of get through it, Autoduel is there. It's your friend.
Yeah, but even
Autoduel a lot.
Yeah, even with Autoduel, though, like I feel like Autoduel to me feels like Bitcoin mining, where it's like you're not contributing to anything. It's just like wasting CPU power. You know?
Okay, well, here's my take. I use AutoDuel a lot, and I use AutoDuel to discover my new memes, my new jank combos, because, like, you know, I'll put things together that I think might work, but this, and then I'll let the CPU play it, and the CPU will play it in a completely different way that makes no sense at all. But it turns out that it's a sick wombo combo that no one has thought of, because it's not human AI logic. It's AI. It's like link 1 + 2 = 7.
Yeah.
So
that is true. The AutoDuel is like its own thing. It's got its own mind. It's sometimes pulls some stuff out of its ass to win the game in a unique way.
You break your own monster to kill yourself. Wow. Amazing.
I've seen it do stuff like it very frequently will target its own monsters with effects. Like if you play with Maiden, I play a Blue Eyes deck that has Maiden of the Eyes of Blue. The auto duel loves to target Maiden with like your removal to like get a Blue Eyes. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it loses the game.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that's like a good argument for it. But I wish the Duel Links like figured out how much they would like people to play each day and said, okay, this is what we'll reward you for. And then after that, you can like take a break. Cause like sometimes it feels like they want you to play nonstop all the time. And I don't want to do that. And I don't think any of you want to do it either.
I mean, yeah, it's one of the reasons I get burnt out. Cause I hustle so hard for so long. Like I burn at 100-200%. And then after that, I need a break.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good to, you have to find a balance, and taking breaks is going to happen. And it's either like Konami either like tells you when to take a break, or they let you take a break on your own terms. And if you do it on your own terms, you might sit out for like a month or more if you get really
burned. You know what? I got to give credit. Konami kind of does this low key by giving you crap rewards after like a really exhausting event. It makes the next event not worth playing. So like that to me is a sign. It's like, hey, you know, just relax this week. This event's garbage. The card's garbage. Don't worry about it.
That is true. That is kind of a funny way to think about it. That they just deliberately put out shit rewards to give you a break so you don't have to play.
Big Brother Konami is always considerate.
Thank you, Konami. So generous.
So generous. You gave me garbage so that I would know to rest. On that note, speaking of garbage in this podcast.
Nice segue.
I feel like I've been the segue man. I feel like I've been the traffic organizer. I'm like, okay, over here now, everyone. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Someone's got to keep us in line.
I say someone has to, because without it, this podcast would go on for hours.
Yeah.
It would have been Dorito 3D Crunch Podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. We'd have to change the name.
I'm ready.
So can you can email us at 3dcrunch@gmail.com.
That's not a real email. Yo, send us an email. We gave the email before. It'll be pasted in the description. And yeah, thanks for joining us if you got this far, and have a good night.
Congrats if you got this far.
Thank you. Good night. Wait, no, what if it's daytime?
Then you say good day. Still till next time.
Then we tell them that time's a construct and you should just enjoy the moment.
All right, end the podcast. Shut it off. Shut off the podcast.